prophets? Okay. I've glossed over this before. I want to make a point of saying this now. Okay? The Jews didn't call the Old Testament the Old Testament. For them, there was no New Testament. Up until 1945, there was no World War I. It was the Great War. Okay? You can't have World War I until you've had World War II. Okay? It just doesn't make any sense. Okay? So, for the Jew, they still don't call it the Old Testament. They call it the Jewish Bible. Okay? But in Hebrew, they call it the Tanakh. Right? Now, the Tanakh is an acronym. It's made up of three letters, T, N, and K. And they just throw the sort of default vowels of A in between there. So T, N, and K. Now, the T stands for Torah, which is the law. Okay? The N stands for Nevi'im, which means the prophets. Okay? And the K stands for Ketubim, which is the writings. Now, the writings really became cemented after the fall of the temple when the Jews sat down and said, this is what's part of the scriptures, because those pesky Christians were saying, you know what? We like these gospels. We want to call this part of the scriptures, and we're going to call this part of the holy writings. And the Jews at this council of Jamnia around 80 AD said, no, this is what's scripture. The law and the prophets. And somebody went, but what about the Psalms? And the Psalms. And Ruth? And yes, and Ruth. Of course, Ruth. Esther. Yes, yes, Esther. And what about Baruch? Well, no. We don't have that in Hebrew. Oh, well, okay. And well, long process, okay? And essentially, the law and the prophets were a given. And they had a large sort of conflagration about what was going to happen with these other things that made it in, and that they referred to as the writings. And those were some of the later works in the wisdom literature and that sort of stuff. But that became the law, the writings, and the prophets. At the time that Jesus was talking, the scriptures that nobody questioned were the law and the prophets. Okay? And of course, everybody knew the Psalms. And they knew all these other stuff too, but nobody had said, you know, this is absolutely scripture. It was the law and the prophets, okay? So we have Jesus summarizing scripture by saying all of scripture is contained in this because this is the law and the prophets. One of the things that we sometimes say when we begin the confession of sin is we say, you know, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. One of the Gospels has Jesus saying, there is no other commandment greater than this. Matthew has Jesus saying, on these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Okay. In Matthew's mind and to Matthew's audience, what he's saying is all of Scripture depends on these two commands. Okay? Now, the sort of Gentile Goyim version of this is really important, guys. And the Jews are over here going, it's the law and the prophets right here. Okay. All right. So, let's move on, thinking I've covered that one completely. All right, so now we get into the warnings about judgment. There are four separate but very related warnings, okay? The narrow gate versus the broad way. It's a little strange, Broadway leads to hell. I don't quite know what to do with that. Take it for what it's worth. Anyway, good trees versus bad trees. The good trees bear good fruit. The bad trees bear bad fruit. This is about prophets, by the way. False prophets and good prophets and all that. There's he who does the will of my Father in heaven versus everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Basically, Jesus says, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to get into heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, that is who I will acknowledge. Okay? Basically, yeah, everybody's going to be like, Lord, Lord. I'm going to be like, go to hell. And literally. And finally, the solid foundation versus the sandy foundation. Those who build their house on a solid foundation, which are those who hear my word and do it, versus those who build their house on a sandy foundation, those who hear my word and forget it. Okay? Jesus tells these four, basically parables, not quite, sort of metaphors. He gives these four metaphors right in a row, and they're all about basically salvation. Because the problem with it is, if you do the right thing, you get salvation. And if you do the wrong thing, you get, let's call it destruction. It's more like damnation, right? If you don't get into heaven because you're calling out, Lord, Lord, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, you're not getting on the right escalator, okay? So then we get to the conclusion of the sermon. And the conclusion of the sermon, which is Matthew 7, 28 and 29, was, and so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. All right, now, looking at that very briefly, this is the same concluding formula that Matthew uses to conclude each of the sermon/books of Jesus. All right, at the end of the missionary discourse, in 2 weeks we're going to see it. At the end of the Olivet discourse, we're going to see it. You're going to see this almost word for word 5 times in Matthew's gospel. Okay, where did he come up with this? Well, it's based on Deuteronomy 32:45. Moses finished speaking all these words to Israel. Okay. Again, if you get nothing else from this, I hope you see that this, for Matthew, this couldn't be a more clear picture of how Jesus totally fulfills the Old Testament. How he is the prophet like Moses. How he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, how he is the Messiah that was prophesied, how he is the long-awaited Savior. In fact, the next bullet point here is, this helps us, I'm off base here. This is the whole idea of the prophet like Moses, right? Jesus is that new Moses. He's the new lawgiver, but like Ezekiel says, that new law is not going to be written on stone tablets. It's going to be written in your hearts. Okay? He just keeps fulfilling things over and over and over again. You know, for Matthew, you just wonder if he could ever see anything for the light bulbs going off. Okay? And then finally, this passage helps establish the difference between Jesus and his rivals, the scribes, and that difference is authority, because that passage says he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. Jesus, the word authority in Greek is exousios, out of his essence, out of who he is, out of his nature. He teaches out of who he is, because he has that in him. It's not something that he's borrowed from somebody else. It's not something he picked up. He knows it because it's who he is, and that's how he imparts it. He has that authority, and the scribes, they lack that authority. It's not part of their essence. Okay, so next week is a special feast day. It's the Feast of the Transfiguration, where Jesus goes up on the mountaintop, and there are Moses and Elijah, who to the Jew are the pinnacle of the law and the prophets. Maybe stealing some thunder from next week. So we're going to take a break from the Bible study and have a special Eucharistic service next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And then the following week, we're going to be talking about Jesus' miracles and the next sermon book of Jesus, which will be the missionary discourse. And we covered 5 chapters tonight. We will be covering 3 next week. So, and the miracle is I managed to do that in a remarkably brief time. So, anybody have any questions? Go ahead. Because of that connection with the Jewish, with the Jewish book, because it totally connected. There's, you know, different Greek words, different translations, all that, but the real connection was drawing that connection between the Jewish experience in the wilderness and Jesus' experience in the wilderness, making that connectivity between them. You know, it may just be, you know, who knows why they translated it that way 600 years ago and now.